Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I'm Tim with Walker and Steve Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm well. It's a good day here in Tupelo.
Hey, before we jump into the program, I wanted to tell folks, folks have been asking, are you going to Israel next year? The answer is yes, we are, Lord willing, and well, I'm not even going to say anything else because crazy world we live in.
Yeah.
But, yes, the plan is to go in March. So if you want to go with us, or at least look at going with us in March to Israel, I know a lot of you, especially Christians, want to go see the Holy Land sometime in your life. And, before we see the new Jerusalem, right? Mm-hmm. Down the road in, where am I going with this? I'm saying in the future life, right?
That's right.
The new Jerusalem,
what
the Bible says. Okay, there we go.
I thought you were going to predict the end times.
But, well, I'm not going to get into that right now. How you like this end times? Jesus is coming back,
That's good.
All will be well.
How about that? That's
accurate. Hey, like that prophecy. All right. So anyway, we're going to Israel in March. Love to have you. Go to if you want a brochure, we can mail it to you. Brochure to your house, wherever you want us to mail it to. Go to let's see. The phone number is 800-326-4543. I'll give that again. Option 5. 800, that's families, right? 800 FAMILIES. That's the easy way to remember it. 1-800-FAMILIES. Then touch option 5. And then leave us your name and your address. And we will be glad to get you the 2021 March Holy Land Tour brochure in the mail to you. Otherwise, you can go to twholyland.com. Holyland.com. If you want to read about that trip on the internet, twholyland.com. All right, Steve, what do you got?
Well, our best friend and Democrat, presumptive Democrat candidate, Joe Biden, has been talking again. You remember when somebody had that little conspiracy theory that there was a trafficking ring going out of a pizza parlor that Hillary Clinton was involved with? Not even remotely close to anything that's true. Maybe Joe Biden might be buying into some of this. I want you to listen to what he said during his policy speech just the other day. This is cut 6.
To get our people to work and our kids to school safely, to get our kids to market swiftly, to power a clean energy revolution in this country, we need to modernize America's infrastructure.
Got to get those kids to market quickly.
He's missing a couple verbs right there.
Maybe.
Yeah, that was a jumble.
Let's hear. Was this yesterday?
Yeah, but were you missing something from that? I was missing something from that. Listen, let's play cut 7 again.
To get our people to work and our kids to school safely, to get our kids to market swiftly, to power a clean energy revolution in this country, we need to
Steve. Now, I think you photoshopped that, Steve.
You think I did?
Steve brought in the geese.
Oh, me. That's what's done to President Trump on a daily basis.
Exactly.
The geese should almost just be in every clip.
I know, right?
Anything to do with Biden, we do geese in the background.
They do add a lot of character and make it more interesting what he's saying there. Kids to market.
Yes, got to get them to market quickly.
That's just like piggies. You remember the nursery rhyme or whatever? This little piggy went to market?
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like he's talking about. What market are we going to take our kids to? Let's hear this golden oldie.
To get our people to work and our kids to school safely, to get our kids to market swiftly, to power clean.
Okay, stop right there. Listen, far be it from me, a man who makes several mistakes a day on talks.
As we all do.
To be critical of the former vice president, but he is running for president of the United States, and that's a big deal. So he's opened himself up to speculation, especially as it relates to his mental status and ability to carry out a job of that nature. Now, what is Kids to Market? Is he talking about? Is he talking about kids being ready to go to work?
No, I have a feeling that the word kids was supposed to be energy or some other
energy.
He had talked, but the first sentence was about something about our kids, and I think he just ported that over. Got to get something else to market.
He slurs a lot of words together, too. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, that was one where, you know, typically you can probably fill in a word and go, this is what he meant. But that one's a little tricky, kids to market.
Yeah.
He's talking about getting kids. Was he talking about getting kids back to school?
The first thing was getting kids.
Let's play that one more time.
Okay.
That's important.
All right, yeah.
To get our people to work and our kids to school safely. Yeah. To get our kids to market swiftly.
Yeah.
So Joe Biden thinks we should open schools back up.
That's what he's saying. Safely.
Yeah. But then this little kitty went to market. I think that's what he's saying. Am I right?
I think you're onto something.
Okay. The guy can make up a new nursery rhyme.
You know, but that's...
I got to give him credit.
This is going to be the future.
Yeah.
For the next four months, for at least the next 4 months, there's going to be words dropped in the middle of sentences where we're going, what was he saying? Nobody knows.
It's kind of a way for that he can kind of plausible deniability. He says something crazy, he can just say, I didn't really mean that. I misspoke.
Yeah.
Well, here's the problem, though. With President Trump, when he makes mistakes like this in speaking, as I say, everybody does, his are usually the off-the-cuff things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I got to give it to President Trump. I watched his rope line. He doesn't avoid the media.
No.
He'll do a rope line going out, here or there, whenever he's going. He'll spend 10 minutes, 15 minutes engaging with the press. Now, he'll jab at them. If they jab at him, he'll jab right back.
Sure.
But he doesn't avoid them, and he answers them. And what I saw the other day, in the last couple of days, they're thoughtful answers that he's given. You may disagree with him, but he's given answers to questions and to problems. Now, those are give and takes on a live with the press. And sometimes the president, I think where he makes most – so he may make mistakes in how he speaks, much as Biden did there earlier. However, when President Trump is given a teleprompter speech, as long as he sticks with it, he can deliver a very, very good speech. Case in point, the July 4th, which was technically July 3rd, Mount Rushmore talk, which bumped his numbers up, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm getting at here is with Biden, you got a danger from him even reading the teleprompter.
Yeah.
Right?
That was a teleprompter speech.
That was a teleprompter speech because he is, if you're slurring words or misspeaking from a teleprompter speech on a regular basis, as the vice president, former vice president has been doing, then you begin to reinforce the idea among people that you're not well enough mentally to handle the presidency.
Yeah.
Do you think the media is going to pick up on that?
You don't have to. No, I think they're going to try to avoid it and ignore it.
Yeah.
This is what they are doing. This was Anderson Cooper and Jim Acosta. After Jim Acosta was complaining about the president's Rose Garden speech the other day, which was kind of half speech, half campaign rally, and some say it was inappropriate from the White House Rose Garden to do that. Well, among those who says it was inappropriate is Acosta.
Really?
Yeah.
Jim Acosta.
Imagine
he's usually a straight arrow.
Well, listen to what he said to Anderson Cooper was asking him a question. This is their interchange, cut 8.
Jim, I think I know the answer to this, but I mean, it seems like there's just no one around the president who shakes their head when they hear him rambling in the Rose Garden like this?
No, Anderson, we are down to Kool-Aid drinkers and next of kin here at the Trump White House. There are no more adults who will level with the president and tell him he can't deliver a rally-like rant in the Rose Garden as he did earlier this evening.
Just shut up. That is totally...
Yeah.
Huh?
He had a cute little saying there.
He's a reporter. He's supposed to be the straight tie reporter from the White House. Here's what the president did. Here's what he said. Back to you, Anderson.
Yeah.
No, he's a political adversary.
Yeah.
With a microphone.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
Yeah, you know, the questions, I would almost bet, I didn't watch the Rose Garden press conference, speech/press conference.
I did.
But I would bet if you go back to it, he probably took questions.
At the end, he did.
Which then led to his answers being what Jim Acosta didn't like.
The body of his speech was much like his campaign, a little dialed back from his actual campaign stops.
But even before he got to the questions?
Yes.
What he was doing was, what the president was doing in this Rose Garden speech, which Steve just talked about, and which Jim Acosta described as basically unhinged.
Right. A rant, he called it.
A rant. I watched it. I watched the whole thing on the patio with your mama the other night on the iPad because she had seen part of it. And she said, "Oh, hey, I want to go back and watch that whole speech." So I pulled it up from the White House website and I watched it. And it was an hour long. And the president, what he did was, it's just him at the podium at the White House, and he pulls out these sheets of paper. Which he says, he's saying, I want you to listen to what the Democrats want to do, what they're in favor of. And I'm not making this up. I'm reading from their basically what will become their platform.
Yeah.
Because that's been in the news.
Right.
Because remember that you've seen the meetings between Bernie Sanders and AOC with the Biden campaign. The Biden campaign's wanting to adopt all these AOC Biden policy positions so that they can bring over those people to vote for them and support them and unite the Democrat Party. You follow me there? So what the president's doing is just laying out how whacked out, we talked about this last hour, left socialist these ideas are. And actually, he didn't raise his voice at all. Unlike a campaign rally.
Right. That's what the dialed back part,
He pretty much stayed on script of what his team had written for him. I'm talking about the president at the White House, at the Rose Garden. So if you didn't see the speech and you heard what Jim Acosta did, that was completely and totally unfair, the way he described it. Now, I guess in his mind, he thinks that that was a rant.
Yeah.
But as Trump goes, that was not a rant.
No.
Huh?
No.
I've seen Trump rant. And he can rant with the best of them. Mm. And what he did at the Rose Garden the other day was not a rant.
No.
But it's with President Trump, it's just like you don't even hear fair. I don't even listen to what would be otherwise be considered valid criticisms because it's every day, all day, hate Trump by the news media. By the vast majority of them.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. If I can continue my rant. Is that what I'm doing here?
No, not at all.
It will be a miracle of God if this man is able to win again. President Trump in November. Now, don't misunderstand me. I think it's 50-50. Okay? I don't buy into these polls that show him down by 15 points. Mm-hmm. So don't misunderstand me, but I do think it's close. But our presidential politics have been close for the last, three election cycles?
At least.
Since the Hanging Chads of Florida. And that's not a bluegrass group, by the way. but I do think, what you got going on here, you're going to have, as I said earlier, you got a contrast between people who are promoting Marxism and socialism, and people like Donald Trump who are promoting traditionalism and Americanism, if you want to call it that, capitalism and so forth. So this is going to be I know what I was going to say. By a miracle of God, right? Someone said it was a miracle of God he won in 16.
But some would.
Listen to what President Trump is up against. I know many of you know this already. He's up against the Democrat Party, number mm-hmm. one, and all what they bring to bear. He's up against the Hollywood.
And they're very
influential, especially with the younger people. Mm-hmm. The Hollywood and entertainment business. You can't even speak a word of positivity about President Ooh. Trump.
They'll cancel you in a heartbeat.
Yes. Okay, yeah. So you're up against the Democrat Party. You're up against the power of Hollywood. Mm-hmm. You're up against the Chinese.
Yeah.
Right? The Chinese want to bring Trump down.
They do.
Because they want to get their boy Biden back in there. All right. That sounds demeaning to Biden, calling him boy, but he is China's puppet.
Yeah.
You know, I'll just say they want to get their puppet back in there.
There you go.
All right, Joe Biden, because China, do away with Trump. He gives us a hard time. We get Biden back in there, business as usual, right? So you're up against the Democrat Party. You're up against Hollywood. You're up against China. Guess who else you're up against? You're up against all the news media.
Absolutely.
Huh?
Yes.
Like Jim Acosta right there. Practically 90%, 95%.
Absolutely.
That he's up against the news media.
And doesn't take a guff at all.
All right, now, all what I just said, which is almost insurmountable to overcome, that alone would be a miracle. Add to that Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Google, the big social media giants.
Yep. Yeah.
Now, I will give Facebook a little credit. What's his name? Zuckerberg.
Mark Zuckerberg.
Thus far, Zuckerberg has refused to yield to the hate Trump crowd and say we're going to ban his messages because they're hateful.
Right.
Or they're untruthful. That's what they want to say, right?
Yeah.
So the boycott against Facebook by other companies has been trying to pressure Facebook to get rid of Trump on their platform or any groups or people that support those ideas. Am I right, Walker?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay. So that I basically just described to you all the power brokers in the world.
I got a sixth one if you want.
Go. The European Union?
Well, no. I'm thinking all these police brutality claims were going on in the middle of the Obama administration, but you never saw riots. You never saw, well, you did, but you didn't see the rise of Antifa, the far left, as much as you're seeing it now. This is the resistance, basically.
Yeah.
What were the violence and the tilt towards communism and the disdain for this country is coming out of the resistance movement to Donald Trump, and they're going to pin that on him.
So you have the on the ground organized resistance,
like Antifa,
funded by George Soros and the left.
Exactly.
Yeah, I forgot about Soros money.
Yeah,
and Bloomberg's going to throw his money in behind.
Yeah. You said the European Union.
You add that they would be down the list, I think, of the forces up against President Trump. But you could add the European Union,
Russia,
as you think Russia's against, probably so.
Yeah, I think they much prefer Biden.
Yeah.
Yeah, more passive.
And we know they've been interfering in our elections, so.
So when I say it would be a miracle of God if President Trump wins in November, I'm not saying that can't happen. As I said, I think at this point it's probably 50-50. I'm just saying the forces arrayed against President Trump are, if this were a football game, you would say
it's over.
It's over by halftime.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, President Trump is going to have to pull a Rudy. All right?
Yeah.
And he can, and this can happen. I mean, I'm talking about the underdog. And then you add to that, you add to all those things, the trouble of the coronavirus that's brought to our country and everything that happens negatively related to the coronavirus,
the economy and
the news media, and is all blaming President Trump every day. It's President Trump's fault X number of people have died. It's President Trump's fault. We haven't handled this. It's President Trump's fault. No, everybody's not wearing a mask. Yeah. All these things.
Yeah.
So he's being hit with that every single day. I don't see how the guy continues to. But he's
a warrior. He lives for the fight.
Yeah, his stamina's up there, and he relishes being the underdog, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens, but I'm just saying it'd be a miracle if he's able to come.
Sounds like 2016.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. What, the night that the New York Times said there was a 93% chance of Hillary Clinton being elected president, and then that 93%, we all remember watching that drop to 80, 70, to 60, to 50.
Right.
And then the Democrats and the left-wing crowd had to consent to the fact that President Trump had
won. It hit them like a ton of bricks.
Trump had won, and then they all went outside.
Weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they went outside and released primal screams. I heard them.
Yeah.
Some did. Literally.
I heard them from New York.
Yeah.
I heard them from L.A.
Yeah.
All right, Steve, we have 2 or 3 minutes.
I want you to picture this. It's the Tokyo Olympics coming up, and the valiant, this is going to be cut 9, Brent, the valiant American 4x100 track team has smashed the world record again, and they are standing up on the podium getting ready to get their medals. And you hear this, Mesdames et Messieurs, l'hymne national des États-Unis d'Amérique. Ladies and gentlemen, the national anthem of the United States of America.
Lean on me when you're not strong.
Yeah, that's actually being proposed.
By the...
A columnist in the LA Times, whose name is Jody Rosen, he writes, at a moment when the United States is in the grip of multiple crises, convulsed by debates over racism, injustice, ravaged by pandemic with a crumbling economy and a faltering democracy, the very idea of a national anthem, a hymn to the glory of the country, feels like a crude relic, another monument that may warrant tearing down. But there is an alternative. And he says this is the song. Mainly, its big selling point to him is it has nothing to do with America or America's greatness.
I like that song.
I do too, but I don't think it's a national anthem.
No way.
Yeah.
This is a serious proposal
by
the Los Angeles Times editorial board or from an opinion writer?
An opinion writer at the LA Times.
Walker.
Yeah, these are the usual snowflakes getting their feelings hurt over a national anthem.
This only proves again that they hate America.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, and you heard the first paragraph there painting this doom and gloom picture of America, half of which is self-inflicted with our shutdowns. So let's bring in this song as our new national anthem.
You know, I got a great idea, and this just came to me. I saw this somewhere the last couple of days, so it's not original with me, but these folks, like this guy right here, this Los Angeles Times writer who wants to put Lean on Me as our national anthem.
Yeah.
And all these people want to eradicate our history and our heritage.
Mm-hmm.
I think Greenland is for sale.
Ah.
You know what I'm saying?
Maybe we could just buy it for them.
Who wouldn't be willing to pitch in?
I'd pitch in $100.
Absolutely.
We buy Greenland for the socialist, Marxist, leftist.
Oh, okay.
And let them all go there and have their own country.
I've flown over Greenland.
Yeah.
It is not green. It is white, let me tell you.
Ice.
Oh, man. Snow and ice for miles, like the Sahara Desert of snow.
There better be an agreement to make sure they move up there.
Yes, and I would say this. If it is all white, they're not going to move there.
No, that's racist.
True.
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
It's a nice thought.
Maybe I can come up with some other place. See you tomorrow, everybody.